months after they disobeyed him until baby Jesus was born. How long was that? I don't expect you to give me that, you know, exact, but it was thousands of years. Thousands of years. The believers were waiting for the Jesus to be born. Mm-hmm. And in God's mind, it was no problem. He already saw it as completed. 500 years before Jesus came, God was talking in the completed form, Isaiah 53, about how Jesus would be killed for the people. And he used the past tense in that when he's speaking about something that would happen 500 years in the future. But in God's mind, it was done already. And so again, that how comforting that is. Because we're looking at tomorrow. We're looking at later today. We're looking at tomorrow. We're looking at next week. We can't think a whole lot longer than that because we're trying to deal with everything we're dealing with right now. And God's got it all figured out. He already sees the problems we're going to be dealing with in 3 years. And he's got those problems figured out too. I'm sorry. I'm rambling. But hopefully I said something that's beneficial. Yeah. It feels good to me. I find it beneficial. I don't know. All right. What was, so we just talked about Genesis 15:5, illustration of the number of Abram's descendants. Your offspring will be as numerous as the stars. What was Abram's reaction to the Lord's promise? Verse 6.
He believed
the Lord. Yep. Explain the words, he, that's God, credited it to him as righteousness.
Faith.
It is faith. That's exactly right. Carla earlier read some of those words from Romans. Paul gets into this extensively, credited to Abram as faith, and that's the same way that it is with us today. God credits things to us by our faith, not by our works. So this is justification by faith. This is the theology of justification by faith. Faith alone, right? Luther's solas, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. That's what Romans 4 is all about. And that's what even this verse is about. And we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating, I think. How were the people in the Old Testament saved? Jesus hadn't come yet.
Faith.
Through faith.
Yeah.
How? They believed God would send the Savior. We look back and we believe God did send the Savior.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've ever seen that illustration. I use it in my Bible basics class. But you have Christ in the middle of a timeline, right? And you have the Old Testament people looking ahead to faith. And you have the New Testament people looking back in faith. And it all centers on Jesus. The whole Bible centers on Jesus. But that's very simply what Noah is referring to here through the inspiration, Moses is referring to here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Abram believed what God said to him, and God credited it to him as righteousness through the faith Abram had. Abram believed, and God was pleased. Any questions on this? Now, earlier we talked about how Abram was believed what God said, and then you run into verse 8, and it seems to convey the exact opposite of verse 6. How do you square these two verses? Any thoughts on this? So basically what verse 8 is, Lord, how will I know this is true? But we just got done reading, Abram believed the Lord. How do you square that?
He had doubts.
He had doubts, yeah. Yeah. Has anybody looked up that Mark 9:24? Anybody got that? It's a race. First person there, read it.
Immediately
the Father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief.
You remember that passage? Where the man said to Jesus, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief.
Wasn't that related to He wanted somebody healed, and he said, if you're able to do that, and the unbelief was, I know you're able to do that, so if it's your will, do it. But he asked him if you're able to do
that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same kind of concept, exactly. You know, Lord, I trust you, but I'm really struggling. I don't see how this can happen. That's the issue, right? It's the same thing that... I'm sorry, Karen, go ahead.
I'm trying to put logic where...
Yes! Yes! We do it all the time. Lord, I know you promised that you're going to take care of all my needs. But how are you going to help me through this situation? I don't see how you can do it.
We're always questioning him. How can you do it?
When we talked about... Right! Same thing. Well, we talked... Moses did it, right? We just talked about it Sunday. Lord, these people are griping about the manna. God said, I'm going to give you enough meat to feed them for a month. And Moses says, Lord, you're an awesome God, but I'm not sure how you're going to pull this off. Even if we killed all our livestock and got all the fish out of the sea, we wouldn't have that kind of food. And so that logic aspect of it, right? We struggle with that in our own lives. We know God's promises. But trusting him fully and being at peace with the uncertainties in our life, that's a lot more difficult for us. At least it is for me. I don't know if it is for you.
It amazes me how much the Bible, even in the olden days or whatever, relate to us. Mm-hmm. What we just read there. How, I mean, it's crazy. It amazes me that.
Yeah. It's so pertinent. And these people in the Bible... They were people just like us. That, you know, we have our strengths. We have our weaknesses. There's some areas where each of us is really strong in our faith. There's other areas in our lives where we really struggle in our faith. And that's the way it was with the people in the Bible. Even these great men and women of faith. We're going to see it with Abram. We've seen it already. We're going to see it with Sarah. We saw it with Noah. You know, David down the road. That, yeah. Yeah, but you're absolutely right, Maddie. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
When I was guessing at this before looking at Mark, is there any chance that in faith this was just a question about the specifics? In other words, Lord, I trust that what you say is going to happen, but can you tell me how it's going to happen? Like the Lions will make the playoffs, and that just seems like unbelievable because they don't have the track record of the Seahawks.
Been 30 years!
Yeah. I know
you realize why that happened, don't you?
How is it going to happen?
It's because the Bursars moved back to Michigan. That's why that happened, just so you know.
Right.
Depends on the refs.
No, but I think that's really valid, Gary. That I think that is a lot of what Abram's asking here. Lord, I do believe you, but how can this happen? Could you just explain to me a little bit how you're going to pull this off? And I think that is, and the same in the example that we read earlier. I think that's a big part of it.
And we are very impatient. We want to know right
now. Right?
You know, right now.
As we talked about earlier, God has a long view in mind. Our long view is tomorrow, right? Yeah. Can you help me in the future, Lord? And when I say future, I mean like the next 24 hours.
That's right.
Good. Excellent. Genesis 15, verse 1 shows us God came to Abram in a vision. Here's the question of the day. Well, we have all kinds of questions of the day, but here's another question of the day. Where does this vision end? What I can tell you is there's no definitive answer. Okay, just to reassure you, there's no wrong answer in this. We're not sure. The honest truth is we're not sure where it ends. Possibly it ends at verse 6. Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. And then you know, there was a further conversation down the road at another time, or, you know, we don't know. But maybe the more likely answer is at the very end of this chapter. The whole chapter may very well be, probably was, the entire vision. This whole thing was a vision. But we're not certain.
Aren't there still descendants from him still being born? So does it ever end?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any Jew will call themselves a child of Abraham. Abraham, yep. Yep. And it's not just the Jews. The Palestinians, the Arabs, they're also, so you basically had Ishmael, who was the father of all the Arab nations, and you had Isaac, who became the father of all the Israelite nations and all the Jews. So just think about just those number of people. Then, we'll talk about this more down the road, but do you realize that you are all descendants of Abram?
Yes.
How? I don't have an ounce of Jewish blood in me that I know of, but I'm a descendant of Abraham. How? Through faith. Yep, that's the New Testament picture, that anybody who is a believer in Jesus is a spiritual offspring of Abraham. So now you start seeing how those numbers start accumulating, right? The stars of the sky, the dust of the earth. It's not just physical descendants, it's spiritual descendants as well.
Interesting.
You never thought of yourself like that.
But when you break it down and you really think about it, like,
okay.
Yeah. So. All right. What is happening here, and what was the symbolism of the pact? I gave you the verses. This is kind of weird stuff, isn't it, as you read this? Sort of what was going on. God tells Abram, bring some animals. Abram did. And I mean, he didn't just bring them. He slaughtered them, cut them in half. You understand there's a fair amount of work with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever cut up your own deer, you know what's all involved in that. That is a matter of debate, Tom. I like to cut up my own deer. I can parcel it the way I want and cut out the pieces I want and whatever it may be. But we won't get into all that. This is kind of strange. What might be helpful to you is to realize that this was like a Babylonian Chaldean blood pact. In other words, this was a fairly, not common, but it was a recognized custom in Abram's day. There's two parts to the blood pact. Number one, each contributed and participated as equals. So you had two people coming together saying, we're going to make a treaty, a pact. P-A-C-T, pact. And so, yes, let's do that. And so each contributes to the making the pact. And they each participate as equals. And number two, pretty heavy. Breaking the covenant or the pact meant forfeiting your life. This was when you did a pact like this in Abram's day, this was serious, heavy duty stuff. Okay? So you didn't enter into this sort of agreement lightly. You had to be really confident and assured that you were going to keep your word. How might... Any questions on this? Do you need me to repeat anything? How might this reassure Abram? As we look at this, whenever I've read this through the years, I say, this is really weird. This is strange. This is kind of almost sounds like a cult-ish, if you know what I mean by that. How might this reassure Abram, though?
Well,
Because it was a custom?
Yeah, exactly. This was something that happened in his day. He recognized what the ramifications were, and it was powerful. And for the Lord to show him in this way, that really did reassure him. Wow, okay, Lord, I see how serious you are about keeping your word on this. And that really, really helped Abram. We got about 5 minutes, unfortunately, because I talked too much at the beginning on different things, but thank you again for your input on that. Let's see how far we can get. At first read, the Lord's next message to Abram doesn't seem very comforting, yet how might they actually be very reassuring? Basically, this is a section of Genesis 15 where he says, your descendants are going to be in slavery for 400 years. Okay? So, let's break this down. What were these words actually very reassuring to Abraham regarding his descendants? Well, any thoughts on this? I'll just give you what I have written down, then we can talk about it, okay? Number one, he will have descendants. He will have descendants. Number two, God will punish the oppressing nation. His offspring will gain great riches through it all. And they will, number four, they will return to Canaan. Remember how we talked just a few moments ago about how God sees the long picture? He's got the long view. I mean, this is God speaking about a time. Abram doesn't even have a son, he doesn't even have an offspring yet. And God is talking about a huge nation that's going to be in captivity 400 years, and they're going to come back. God sees this all. Really remarkable. So there really are some very comforting things regarding his offspring, his descendants, in God's words there. What about regarding Abram? How does God reassure Abram? What comfort does he give Abram personally about himself? Did you catch that at all?
Buried at a good old age.
Good, yep. Buried at a good old age. He'll live a long life, and he will die in peace. And regarding the Lord, we've been talking about this to some degree already. The Lord knows the entire future. The Lord knows the entire future. And number two, the Lord has the power to intercede. Lord knows the entire future. The Lord has the power to intercede. Let's take the next few points quickly. Comment on the smoking fire pot with a blazing torch passing between the pieces. What an interesting picture, right? Again, another reason this is kind of seems strange to us. See the following passages for insight into what that was. So if you look at Exodus 3, 2 to 6, very familiar passage. That is the burning bush. Exodus 13, 21. That was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that stayed over the tabernacle while they were in the desert. And Exodus 19:18, that was the smoke of the Lord on the top of Mount Sinai. What do all those things have in common?
Fire.
Fire, yes. You're absolutely right.
They were the Lord's speaking.
They were the Lord's presence among the people. And, of course, he spoke from there. You're right, Karen. Yeah. This is how God appeared to his people in the Old Testament. And it was intended to inspire awe. I mean, it's just showing the people, God is so far superior to you. There is a special theological Hebrew name for this. Have you ever heard this before? The Kavod Adonai. You ever heard that before? I didn't know if a previous pastor had ever mentioned that to you.
Never heard.
So, hey, spring that on your Christian friends. Hey, you ever seen the Kavod Adonai? What? That's a Hebrew way of translated. That means the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Kavod Adonai. Whenever you read your translation and the glory of the Lord appeared to that's you're going to see the words in Hebrew, Kavod Adonai. Adonai meaning God. Kavod, glory. So this is how God appeared to his people, showed his glory through fire and smoke. And again, as I said, it just inspired awe and in a holy, proper fear, so to speak. Quick, final questions. Is there any significance to God moving through the carcasses alone? Think back to what was part of this Babylonian pact. We said that the people that did it were equals. God moving through the carcasses alone. God said, Abraham, you are not my equal. No one can stand equal to God. Furthermore, Abraham contributed nothing to the sacrifice or to the pact other than the animals. God's the one who made all the promises and kept them. Finally, just as he did regarding Abram's offspring, so God does with the land of Canaan. What specifics does he tell Abram about the extent of the land his descendants would inherit? It will go from the Nile to the Euphrates. Yeah. So that describes the size of the land. From the Nile to the Euphrates, that's a big swath of land. And remember all those fun words that we ran through at the end? It describes all the nations who would be conquered and dispossessed. Excellent. So next week, then, we can start just with Genesis 16. Thank you for staying a little bit longer. Thank you also for your input regarding the questions I had regarding Lent and Holy Week earlier today. That was very helpful to me.
Before we pray, can I say one thing real quick?
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to be able to be with this group for about 3 months because I'm teaching a class that conflicts at time-wise at okay. Delta.
Mm-hmm.
I will very much miss you. Judy will carry on in my absence. I am serious.
They don't have the sense of humor. So.
Yeah. Well, that's debatable. But this fellowship is really very special, and I appreciate you leading and the opportunity to do this. This is something you can't do when you're not in retirement, typically, because your time frame is cluttered with work. So
I wanted
to leave you, if it's okay, with the question that I'll be posing to my class. I usually kick off the semester with a class question. I'll see how you do. You know, in the realm of urban legends, sometimes when we look at history, we don't know if something actually happened or if it was just blown out of proportion or is an urban legend. So the story about Washington taking a silver dollar and throwing it across the wide expanse of the Potomac River. I asked my class, do you think that actually happened, or is that just urban legend? Kind of like the cherry tree thing.
Yeah.
Anyone want to hazard a guess?
If he was
was a good skipper. What's that? If he could skip rocks across the water.
Well, that's a good thought, but this would actually have to be from bank to bank if he could throw that silver dollar that distance. I have to tell you, I am completely confident that he was able to do it.
Throw a football.
Because it's clear that money went a lot farther than that. It does.
Oh.
I thought if I left you with that, you wouldn't miss me.
Well, my understanding is during Lent, you have the Lenten services on Wednesday. You do not have the Bible class on Thursday. That's what I was told. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Okay, okay. All right. So you won't miss quite as much as you think, perhaps.
What's that?
So during Lent season, which starts in 6 weeks, there is not a Thursday morning Bible class. There's just the Wednesday
okay.
worship.
All right.
Yeah.
That'll ease the pain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought you were going to let us debate on that for 3 months.
Yeah,
we'd have to discern how wide the Potomac was. And,
I want, when my students meet me for the first time, I want to turn them against me right away.
I always love teachers like that. Made me know right where we stood right from the start. I think that's a great question to ask.
Now whenever you tell us anything, we're going to wait for the
pumpkin. That's how we roll. I keep saying, get to the punch.
How many years have you been married to him?
44.
Wow.
And we dated 5 years before that. So.
And she still married you?
Yeah, I know. She was debating that whole time.
She thought she could change you just like all the rest of us.
That hasn't changed. That continues.
She's still hoping.
Can we close with prayer now? Lord, I thank you for all the individuals around this table who spent time out of their busy schedules to come here and be together and be in your word. We praise you and thank you for all that you revealed about the things you wanted us to know. And we thank you also that we recognize that the people in the Bible were just like us in so many ways, and the lessons that they learned are lessons we can also learn. Help us take to heart these lessons and rejoice in your goodness, your faithfulness, your forgiveness, your salvation, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for everything. Amen.
There's some calendars here if anybody needs them.
Oh, wonderful.
I got it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember adult Sunday?